السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة، إن الله مع الصابرين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa, and those listening over receivers. Over the past 2-3 weeks, I think we have been discussing different problems that our community is facing and how people are losing their faith, their trust, their hope in the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How many people are giving up their iman and Islam, and how many are desirous of committing suicide, of taking their own lives, because they cannot face the situation, because they cannot face the hardships, the difficulties and the trials. So sometimes an ayat of the Quran Sharif, sometimes a commentary of some Hadith Sharif, and sometimes some incident in the life of some companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or the Tabi'een, or the Awliya'i Siddiqeen, or Ulama'i Haq, or others who have been through this route, gives such kind of people some consolation, gives them some kind of hope, and gives them some kind of courage to withstand such kind of hardships and problems. Unfortunately, our iman has become so weak that just a little trial and the person has given up all hope. We deal with cases every day, so we know what happens. And the type of statements which I've been discussing in my bayans that people make when they cannot face hardships and difficulties. And I think we have a large number of people who always say that, why me? Did Allah Ta'ala not have anybody else, na'uzu billah, for this kind of a problem? What did I really do in my life to warrant this? What did my child do? What did my family do? As if the whole world's bala and musibat came upon that person. And the reason for this is that we fail to see the sawab and the rewards that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept for those who are doing things which are correct, which are right. They are trying their best to please Allah ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are doing everything according to the Quran, according to the Sunnah. And then if they go through hardships and difficulties, then they should not look at what they have done and then say that I have been doing all these things, so therefore I should not be facing any kind of test and trial. In the first place, what we do also, I have mentioned many times, it's if we have to really analyze, if we have to really dissect, and if we have to really look at our actions and our deeds, there's so much of deficiency. Look at our salat, look at our zikr, our tilawat, our ibadat. Look at our actions in the streets, at the airports, in the aeroplanes, when we go for holidays, when we are at home, when we are in walimas and in weddings and in birthday parties and engagement festivities and so many other functions. If we have to look at our actions and our deeds at such times, then there is no question of asking that what did I do wrong. We should be asking that what did I do right that Allah Ta'ala blessed me with so much. What did I do right in my life? Allah Ta'ala's ihsan is so much. So tonight I wish to bring across to you the incident in the life of one Tabi'i. Tabi'i who saw a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person who had the companionship of a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called a Tabi'i. One of the great Tabi'in was Urwa bin Zubair, Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala. He was a Tabi. He was very fortunate that he had the opportunity of seeking knowledge from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Zaid bin Sabit radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala. He had the opportunity of seeking his knowledge from such great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he has reported hadiths also from them. So he was a great one amongst the Tabi'in. His mother was Hazrat Asma bint Abi Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now Hazrat Asma bint Abi Bakr, the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an. So that means his maternal grandfather was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now look at his good fortune. And also Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was his khala, his mother's sister. He was born about a year after the shahadat of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So from all sides he was in a family full of people who were noble, who had great esteem in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because Hazrat Safiya was his aunt, was his aunt, we're talking about Poopy, father's sister. So these people were all noble, they were very pious, very great. They were companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, now there was no question of him being committing any sins. This is what I want to get across to you. Because we just do a little bit of ibadat, a little bit of zikr tilawat, and then we want to await Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam coming down with Dastar Khan from the heavens for us. We keep on looking at the sky that I made some ibadat, so Jibreel alayhi salam must come any time now. Now look at these people, of what caliber. We have heard many stories of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in and their sacrifices and the difficulties and the hardships. And the hardships and trials and tests of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. But now let us look at the life of one Tabi. There are so many such incidents, but this just came to mind a little while ago after the Isha Salat. So he said, let me discuss it. So Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to really enjoy reading the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif was his speciality. He used to read one manzil in the mornings, which is about 7.5 paras of the Quran Sharif. And then he used to read the same manzil at night in tahajjud. So 7.5 paras in the morning and 7.5 paras in the evening. And it's not that he was not occupied. He was one of the great muftis of Madina Sharif. One of those 7 fuqaha, jurists. His name is amongst them in his time. When Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, in his time of governorship, the 7 people that he consulted, one of them was him. So he used to recite the Quran Sharif day and night. That was something that he really loved and dearly loved. As far as charitable actions were concerned, he had a very, very huge orchard filled with date palms. Throughout the year or off season, he used to make sure that nobody enters that orchard. He used to put borders right around the orchard. He used to have borders of protection by putting up some structures so that people don't enter it. And he used to conceal the product of those trees from the eyes of the people. The people are passing, they can't see really what is happening inside that orchard. But when it bore fruit, then at that time he should remove all those partitions and all those things that he had there to safeguard that orchard. And then he is to give open invitation. Anybody wants must come eat and fill up and take too. That's how generous he was. Very, very large hearted. That everyone and anyone can come and eat as much as they want. So that nobody feels deprived. Anybody passing there must not cast his glance at the tree bearing fruit. And then he must feel hurt that I cannot afford to eat. That's the kind of heart he had. Where do we find such people today? And Allah Ta'ala is to give them like that too, because of their hearts. So if you look at his salat, if you look at his ibadat, if you look at his charities, if you look at every aspect of his life, there was nothing but taqwa, piety, generosity, kindness. Now a person like that, if he has to face some difficulty, hardship and problem, then he at least, although he would have never said that, but at least if he questioned and asked that, Ya Allah, what did I now do wrong in my life? Then he was justified. Although he never did it, and a Muslim should never do it, but just by, if he had to say such a thing, then he was justified, because look at his actions, look at his akhlaq, look at his muasharat, look at his dealings, and look at his ibadat, look at his namaz. Look at every aspect of his life. There's nothing but taqwa and piety. So during his time in Damascus was Walid bin Abdul Malik. He was the ruler, he was the governor. So hearing about the greatness and all the kamalat and all the virtues of Hazrat Zubair bin Awam, so he invited him to Damascus. He said, come over to Damascus. So he prepared to go to Damascus. He took his little son with him. His young son he took him with. And he said, let's go. When he went to Damascus, Walid bin Abdul Malik gave him a welcome which he was truly deserving. He gave him a truly good welcome. He went out of his way to welcome him and call him to his mansion or palace or home, whatever they had. And he entertained him to the best of his ability, everything to the best, because he knew who he is. He's a Tabi. And he knew his virtues and all his beautiful qualities. Walid bin Abdul Malik had a stable full of very, very expensive, very costly horses. Horses which were very pricey. And beautiful horses. So Zubair bin Awam, his son went to the stable to take one horse to have a ride. The horse gave him such a kick that he passed away. His son died, became shaheed. One of the horses there gave him a kick and his son died. I can imagine what a serious pain that is, what grief it must have caused. He had four sons, now this son he brought with him to Damascus and he has to leave him behind. Instead of taking him back home, now he's going to bury him. So he had to bury his son. Now how much of sabr he must have had to make at that time. He just finished burying his son. And some wound, some sore on his leg, the feet started swelling. There was a swell on his feet. Now he was the guest of the governor of the time. So he went out of his way to get the tabibs, the doctors, or what the medical practitioners of that time, whoever they were the best, he says, try and treat him and make sure that he gets better before he goes. But they tried everything that they could. But they came to only one conclusion, that now it is spreading. It has become septic, gangrenous, and this gangrene will take away his life if you leave it like that. So there's no other way out but to amputate that leg. Now one side he buries his son. On the other side they all decide that his leg has to be amputated. So he agrees with them. He said, well, if that is the only solution to it, I'm quite happy with it. You go ahead. So they brought First they told him that we have to give you something to intoxicate you. Those people that came now to amputate, they said we have to intoxicate you. Those days they didn't have our kind of chloroform and all the expertise that they have now and all the facilities that they have. So they said that we will have to give you something to intoxicate you, to put you into a different world so that you don't feel the pain. He said, that I will never do in my life. You go ahead with what you have to do, but I will not take even one drop of alcohol or anything that's going to intoxicate me. So then they said, well, if there's no other way out, then we'll have to get a 4 or 5 people very strong so that they can keep you tied down. You must not move your leg when we are cutting. Said, that is also not your problem. You go ahead with what you have to do. You cut my leg if it has to be cut. You amputate my leg if it has to be amputated. And what happens after that is my problem. It's my business. So the saw, the knife and whatever they had to use, they started slicing. They started cutting his leg. Now imagine, what kind of a person? We're not talking about one who is sinning, one who was going to the cinemas, discos, theaters and gambling dens and rave clubs. We're not talking about people like us who indulge in so much of vices and then we want to know what wrong did I do. Here we are talking of the person who was so charitable, so generous, so kind, so full of ibadat and zikr and tilawat and a great jurist of his time and a tabi of his time. Now we're talking about him. Now they're amputating his leg. So at that time they said he just kept on reading, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. And his leg was amputated. But in that, he went unconscious. That was the only time that he was not able to read that 7.5 paras of the Quran Sharif, which he was reading from his young days. From his young days, from the time he became Baligh, from that time he was reading one manzil, or even before that. Now this was the first time in his life, because he fell unconscious, that he was not able to read. Otherwise, historians have recorded that he never ever missed it. So they amputated that leg. When he gained consciousness, so then at that time he said, now bring me that leg, let me see. So when they brought that leg, he passed his hand over that leg. And then he read the poetry of one poet, the meaning of which was that, oh my eyes, I have never ever cast an evil glance. He said, these eyes of mine, oh Allah, you know, they did not look at any evil in my entire life. Says, my ears, I never heard, oh my Allah, you know very well that I never listened to any music or any kind of haram. My tongue was never used, my speech was never used in anything that was prohibited, anything that was displeasing to you. And then he says, this feet of mine, passing his hand over that leg which was amputated, he says, this leg of mine, he says, oh my leg, I never put my weight on you and took you to any kind of haram place. You have been cut, but I never put any time my weight on you, the body weight of mine on you, and took you to any kind of haram place. So who are we talking about? Not a sinful one. We are talking about one who is so close to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But look at what he is going through. So Walid bin Abdul Malik, now he was very worried that this guest of mine, such a noble guest, the one who I invited from Madina Sharif, he came down and look what has happened to him. That on the one hand he lost his son, on the other hand his leg amputated. So he was trying his best to console him. He said, you don't have to worry at all about that. And then he said that whatever has faced me, whatever I am being faced with, definitely, most certainly in the world there has been somebody who has been faced with much more than what I have faced. Now look at the sukoon that he's got in his heart. He said, what taklif, what problem, what difficulty, what hardship, what trial and what test I have undergone in this trip of mine to Damascus. With the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala everything is happening. So definitely in the world some young person must have faced much more than that. Then when he returns home, now he tells his wife and his other three sons, he said that, "Don't look at me and begin to cry. Allah Ta'ala had given me four sons. From the four sons, he took away one son. The horse kicked that one son and he died." So he says, "Oh my children, oh my wife, Allah Ta'ala had given me four sons, so he took away one. And then of the parts of the body, Allah Ta'ala had given me four major parts, two hands and two feet, besides all the other parts of the body. So many parts of the body he gave me. Eyes, ears, tongue, but the two hands and two feet. So of the two hands and two feet, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala took away one leg. He took away one leg. So he has left behind for me more than what he took away from me." What kind of people they were. He says, Allah Ta'ala left behind for me more than what he took away from me. These were the kind of people that in their difficulties, in their hardships, in their problems, it was bringing them closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and it did not affect the tranquility and sukoon of their hearts. Natural grief is natural grief that you cannot avoid. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, when his son Ibrahim passed away, his eyes were tearing and he said, "Ya Ibrahim, inna bi firaqika ya Ibrahim la mahzunun." O Ibrahim, in your separation from us, we are grieved. So tearing is not haram, it's not prohibited. But you won't hear any kind of complaint of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in their lives, no matter what kind of hardship and difficulties they underwent. There was sabr, there was sukoon, there was patience that they exercised. And they realized that on this sabr and on this patience, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, "Inna Allah ma'as sabiri." Allah Ta'ala is with those people who are exercising patience and perseverance. He is with them. Now if a person has got the ma'iyat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that means Allah Ta'ala is watching you, he knows what you are going through. Rang lati hai hina patthar pe gisne ke baad. He said, when does the hina give its color? It gives its color when it is crushed on the stone. Then you get the color of that mehndi, of that hina. Rang lati hai hina patthar pe gisne ke baad. Unke haath se zere taamir hoon main, mubarak mujhe meri veeraniya. Unhi ke haath se zere taamir hoon main, mubarak mujhe meri veeraniya. He says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is developing, he is nurturing me, he is bringing me up, he is reconstructing. So first there must be some destruction, then only there will be construction. If there is a building, an old building that is standing, a very old, dilapidated building. Now the person says, "No, I don't want you to touch this building." Now you tell that person that, "Look, if we have to break this building down, then there's treasures in that ground which we can then reach. So you will become multi-rich when we reach those treasures. And then with that you can put up a huge building. You can put up skyscrapers after that. So much you will get in that ground." But that person says, no, don't touch me at all, or don't touch my home at all. So will he ever be able to build after that? Because the treasures are there, beneath that ground. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants that we must reach those heights, and the treasures are there. So first there will be some kind of destruction, a little bit of loss in property, a little bit of loss in wealth, a little bit of loss in health, a little bit of loss in the fruits and production, which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala refers to in the Quran Sharif also. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قالوا إنا inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So this is what they say, because they realize that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is sending it with His knowledge, with His will. There is great wisdom behind what is happening. So he told his wife and his children, he said, this is not the time for you to look at me and start crying and weeping and complaining of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Out of the four sons, he took away one. He didn't take away all four. As the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh has recorded one incident in his Fazail-e-Hajj, and the same incident is recorded in many other kitabs too. And that is the incident of Abul Hasan Siraj Rahmatullah Alayh, where he talks about a woman who was in Hajj. And this woman, he says, that was looking very patient and very calm, as if nothing, no difficulty, no hardship or anything of any kind had come upon her. But the reality was that this woman had gone through such kind of difficulties that anybody else would have collapsed, he would have died of shock. What happened is that he says that this woman had two little children, two infants, and the father slaughtered an animal for qurbani. The father put the knife on the animal for qurbani. Those little children were watching. And here we must take a lesson also. Many a times we are very negligent too. We are ghafil. We must show our children what is qurbani. But then don't leave those big knives there, because they'll make a qurbani of one of them and give it to us. It has happened in many places. Allah Ta'ala protect and save. My grandson's twins, they were very small at that time, and the same thing happened, that one of them took the knife and he was going to do exactly what his father did. Allah Ta'ala saved him. So they can be doing sometimes some very funny things too. Nevertheless, we say that the child saw the qurbani. So after the father went away, the mother thought that let me go and cook some meat. So in the meantime, what happened is that this one child took the knife and put it on the throat of the other child. And that was the end of that child became shaheed. Now this child got a shock seeing the blood flow. So the child ran away out of the door and out into the jungle somewhere. The child ran away. The father, who was just gone outside and came into the house, when he saw the blood, he got the shock of his life, so he went outside to search for that child. He went, now he got lost. He's not returning. So she says that she was standing by the door to now get some news, some information. Where's the father now and where's the son now? Or both of them are gone now. Some animal has eaten them up for what has happened. Or due to thirst and hunger, they have died in the jungles. There was no sign of them. So in the meantime, that little baby that she was suckling, so that baby she just left just near there in that excitement, and that baby went near the stove, and that pot of water fell, and that baby died. She said, musibat upon musibat. So the husband never returned. One son was gone with that slaughtering. The other son got lost in the jungle somewhere, and this side, that infant son also gone. Now what kind of musibat this must be? Can anybody bear this kind of musibat? But they never considered it as musibat. They believed that this is something that will gain them nearness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But you can't just think like that until first you have developed your iman. Until we haven't developed our iman and our yaqeen and our muhabbat for Allah ta'ala, and believing that whatever Allah Ta'ala decides, there's some wisdom, some hikmah, and sometimes He wants to give us some kind of stages in the akhirat, and you can only get that by going through these type of trials and tests. Oh, Allah Ta'ala wants to show the world that these are my servants, that look what kind of tests and trials came upon them. But they never complained about me. Look at all the trials, but they never said that, oh Allah, didn't you find anybody else? Na'uzubillah. So when she was questioned that how did you bear all these type of hardships and difficulties, she said, because if I was impatient, then for the impatient one there's nothing. If I was impatient, what would I have gained? If I kept on complaining, if I kept on talking ill of my Allah, na'uzu billah, and if I kept on telling the people that see what Allah Ta'ala did to me, would it have helped me? In which way would it have helped? Would it have brought my son back to life? Would that complaint of Allah Ta'ala would have brought my husband back from his grave? Or the child that disappeared and died, would he have come back? Nothing would have happened. But on patience and on sabr, look at the stages that Allah Ta'ala has promised. Look at the rewards that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has promised. Look at his closeness and ma'iyat which he has promised. So she says, therefore I exercise patience. But, he says, the gham which came on me, the pain which came, and the trial which came, if it had come upon the mountains, it would have shattered it to smithereens. But it was only my heart that could have taken that. So which heart can take that? That heart which has got Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in there. Tere haath se zere taamir hume mubarak mujhe meri veeraniya. I am happy with this destruction because I am being built by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I am being reconstructed. The construction is taking place of my iman. Mubarak mujhe meri veeraniya. Gira ke bijli mera nashe man jala ke apna bana liya. Gira ke bijli mera nashe man jala ke apna bana liya. Ghamo ke phoolo se mere dil ko saja ke maskan bana liya. Gira ke bijli mera nashe man jala ke apna bana liya. غموں کے پھولوں سے میرے دل کو غموں کے پھولوں سے میرے دل کو سجا کے مسکن بنا لیا. Says, first Allah تبارک و تعالی sent a lightning and my nest was destroyed. So when he destroyed my nest with the lightning, so I thought that now nothing is left because my nest is gone. But ghamo ke phoolo se mere dil ko saja ke maskan bana liya. But what did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala do? In other words, he sent some difficulties, some hardships, some tests and some trials. And then he decorated my heart with these flowers of tests and trials. Allah ta'ala decorated my heart with what? With flowers of tests and trials. And then he came into that heart of mine. When he saw that I was full of istiqamat, then that same Allah came into my heart. He made my heart his maskan. My heart became the nest for the tajalliyat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if that lightning had taken away my nest, then oh friends, why should I weep and cry over the loss of a nest? If the loss of the nest became the means of my heart becoming the nest for the tajalliyat of my beloved Allah. So don't lose hope, don't lose faith, don't lose trust. I'm repeatedly saying these type of things in my bayans because, as I said, the number of letters that we reply and the number of cases that we deal with on a daily basis, there are so many people who mention these type of things. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how can he only send this type of trials upon me? What wrong did I do? Was there nobody else that was worse than myself? The person looks at himself and says, there are lots of other people who are doing things that are worse than what I do. So why didn't they get all this kind of azab and bala? So sometimes it is a test. But we must not consider ourselves in that bracket that we are very pious and holy and righteous and full of zuhud and taqwa and qanaat and everything, and therefore if something comes upon us, then it is definitely a rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. We must look at our weakness, we must look at our shortcomings, we must look at our faults, and which area of ours is straight. Untre unt teri konsi kal sidi. O camel, which part of your body is straight? So we will find that there's so much of dents in our bodies. Different kinds of dents. So we must consider ourselves as being sinful, but if some kind of a test comes, calamity comes, disaster comes, problem comes, trial comes, then we must think that it is kafara sayyiat, that it is a forgiveness of our sins. We must think that it's a forgiveness of our sins. And if the sins are forgiven, then it is a rahmat. It is still a rahmat, even if it came in the form of an azab. But if it came and it made this person get closer to Allah Ta'ala, to give up his sins, to change his lifestyle, to go in the path of sirat, or to go on sirat mustaqim, to give up the path of evil and to take the path of righteousness, if this sickness, this disease, this loss in wealth, in property, in home, or whatever kind of test that came, if it brought one closer to Allah Ta'ala, then it's a rahmat, it's a blessing. Whether it's kafara, sayyat, whatever it is, but it's a blessing. Yes, if that person is still persistent, that after that azab, or after that trial, after that test, or after that shake-up, still the person is proceeding in that same direction. You are telling him now, turn around, reverse, put your car in reverse. You have gone far out on the wrong lane and direction. But the person says, no, if it's a one way, what does it matter? He's driving from the opposite direction. So he wants to meet up with accident, and that's his business. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we don't know what's in his wisdom. So if trials are coming, tests are coming, problems are coming, difficulties we are facing, then look at our lifestyles. Where are we going wrong? First, we have to check that. These days, everything is on computer. They say if the car, there's something wrong with the engine, then plug it in on the computer, and it'll give you a printout where you've gone wrong. So like that, we must plug this heart on some computer, go to some Ahle Dil, and tell him to diagnose, give us a printout, where have I gone wrong. Then that Ahle Dil, the person whose heart is with Allah Ta'ala, and he is from the Awliya-i Siddiqeen, if Allah Ta'ala has given him basirat, then he will say, there's pride, there's arrogance, there's jealousy, there's malice, there's greed, there's miserliness, or there's weakness and deficiency in your salat, in your zakat, in your ibadat, in your muamlat, in your muasharat. He'll give a printout. So then if we put that right, then we can say, right, now we have put things right. So now if it is some test come, then it is a rahmat, it's a blessing. If not, then make plenty of tawbah, plenty of istighfar, remove those dents. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me and give you and the ummah the tawfiq of making amal. These incidents in the lives of these type of people, they give us a lot of hope that if such great, great people, they could have gone through these type of trials and tests, then who are we? And what are our trials? Nothing. But we are extremely weak, so therefore we say, oh Allah, don't test us. Don't test us. Don't test us. We cannot take pain, we cannot take grief, we cannot take sorrow, we cannot take hurt, we cannot take injury, we cannot take calamities, we cannot take disasters, we cannot take destruction of our homes and our properties and our children and our belongings. We say, oh Allah, we can't, we are extremely weak. But if it comes away, then there is no other way but to be patient. And in that patience, you will see what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will then give. He isi tarah se mumkin, teri raah se guzarna. He isi tarah se mumkin, teri raah se guzarna. Kabhi dil se sabr karna, Kabhi dil se shukr karna. That's all. Sometime ek shukr, sometime ek sabr. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us all from difficulties, from hardships, and the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا حي يا قيوم، برحمتك نستغيث. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. My beloved Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. We acknowledge all our sins. Ya Allah, we are not justifying any of our sins. We are the worst of sinners on the earth. Ya Allah, we are not from those who are righteous, pious. We are not from the awliya-i siddiqeen. We are not of the great, great Akabirin. Ya Allah, we are extremely sinful servants of yours. Day and night we disobey you. Day and night we disobey you. We use your bounties, your ni'mats for your disobedience. My beloved Allah, but don't seize us on account of our sins. Don't send any kind of azab upon us because of our sins. Don't test us, don't try us. Oh my beloved Allah, don't send any kind of calamities. Oh Allah, don't send any kind of disaster in our lives. Don't make our lives miserable because of our sins. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. You dearly love forgiveness of sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. My beloved Allah, we know that trials, tests, tribulations have come upon the righteous and the pious ones. But my beloved Allah, we are sinners. We want forgiveness of our sins. My beloved Allah, we are extremely weak in patience. We are extremely weak in exercising patience. Oh my beloved Allah, we begin to make statements of kufr. Ya Allah, we distance ourselves even more from you when your beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when we are tried and tested. Ya Allah, we cannot take any kind of pain, any kind of injury, any kind of hurt, any kind of problem. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Bless us all with good health, spiritual health and physical health. Our wives, our children, our parents, our families, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, bless them with spiritual health and physical health. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the trials and the tests that the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is facing. Bless each and every one, O my Allah, with hidayat. Bless the entire mankind with hidayat. O my beloved Allah, make everyone worthy of entry into Jannat. My beloved Allah, don't punish us because of our sins. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, heart and mind. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Ya Allah, shower your mercy upon us. Shower your mercy upon the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Open the doors of maghfirat and forgiveness for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal and remove the difficulty. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Ya Allah, those who are in grief and in sorrow, give them happiness. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my beloved Allah, we are living in times of fitna. We are being lashed by storms of fitnas from our right and left, from in front of us and behind us. Ya Allah, it has become so difficult even to protect our iman and Islam. Ya Allah, we are seeking from you hidayat and guidance. The time of death will come. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless our wives, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, and the entire ummah with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us. and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْقَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكْ وَسَلِّمْ سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله